हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So, on chapter 45, the Pandavas consult Krishna. In Virat, the Pandavas receive the Kuru's response. No lands or wealth would be returned. Dhritarashtra was pleading for peace, but he wanted to keep his world sovereignty. Duryodhana was the usual obstinate and wrathful self. Right? So then you can understand. They want peace, Dhritarashtra wants peace, but he doesn't want to give anything back. So basically what he wants is the Pandavas just to decide, okay, well, you know, what to do and go back to the forest. Because they know if there's a war, his sons might die. So what he wants is all his sons, all his wealth, world sovereignty, and the Pandavas not around. So basically, illusion. Yudhishthira was not surprised. All that remained now was for Krishna to go to Hastinapur, as he had promised. The time had arrived for you to show your friendship, O Lord. Yudhishthira folded his hands as he addressed Krishna. It is known throughout the world that you are devoted to the welfare of your friends. Depending upon you, we have asked the Kurus to return our kingdom. I do not see anyone other than you who could get us through this difficulty. O Madhava, you are our only shelter. Krishna was seated slightly lower than Yudhishthira on a gold throne decked with precious stones, right? Because they're accepting him as the, you know, as the emperor, or at least as their ruler, because the throne's been usurped by Dhritarashtra. And so then, naturally, him being the senior, they'll all sit in a junior position. Even then, you also see is that because Yudhishthira is Sun Dynasty and Krishna's Moon Dynasty, so they always take a junior position. That's the etiquette. So as Krishna's playing the part of the Kshatriya, then naturally then they'll play this attitude. His curling black hair fell around his smiling face. A diamond-crusted crown shone from his head, and his brilliant shark-shaped earrings flashed as he turned towards Yudhishthira. "Here I am," he replied to the Pandava. "I am ready to do whatever you ask. What do you want to say?" Because for Krishna, see, he is the Lord. Everything is him. And so that has one taste for him. You know, that is his rasa. He is everything. He encompasses everything. And that taste of being the essence of rasa and everything. But at the same time, as everything has that rasa in it, then being individuals as he is, then they also then have their individual nature, and therefore then their position. And so when that individual nature then interacts with, where Krishna interacts with that individual nature, that's where then the rasa is happening. So the relationship of the devotee with Krishna and Krishna reciprocating that. Otherwise, just him tasting the rasa of being everything, then that, you know, it's an unlimited flavor, but it doesn't reach the heights of ecstasy that it reaches when Krishna interacts with the devotee. So therefore, here, he's the Lord, he knows what's going to happen, but at the same time, is the rasa is Yudhishthira telling him what to do, as the senior, and then he as the you know, the junior, then accomplishing that. That's where the taste lies. Yudhishthira was moved by Krishna's response, because it's by that devotion, by that not the devotion, he has the devotion, but by Krishna's kindness, that mercy, that individuality, how he'll deal with everybody, you know, on their particular platform, according to their particular nature and surrender. What had he and his brothers done to merit such support from him? Here was the greatest of all personalities ready to carry their message and act as an envoy for peace. All five brothers gazed intently at Krishna's face, and tears pricked their eyes. You have heard Sanjaya describe Dhritarashtra's minds and feelings. O Krishna, he wants peace without giving us what is ours. Right, so he wants to keep everything, which means war, but he wants peace also. Peace means you give back their half of the kingdom. And but if you say no, I want to keep their half of the kingdom and get peace. You know, that's not, you know, that's like saying, I'm going to spend my money to buy this new car, but I want to have the car and all of my money. It doesn't work like that. But, you know, Dhritarashtras can be a bit foolish at times. That covetous man, partial to his own sons, has a sinful heart. We lived for 12 years in the forest and, at his command, a further miserable year in this kingdom. The Brahmas know that we were true to our promise, but he has reneged on his agreement. Following his foolish son's advice, he desires to follow a deceitful course. He will not even grant us five villages, right? Because then that is, then you keep the empire, you give us five villages, then we can perform our duties. So you can see it's more than just we're greedy and want everything. It also has that point of envy and that sense of destruction. And because of that, then they will be destroyed, naturally. He thinks he owns the world. He has no shame. Because of his greed, we have been reduced to poverty and are unable to perform our kshatriya duties. Without wealth, it is difficult for us to acquire virtue. Asceticism and begging are not a kshatriya's duties, O Krishna. We are meant to rule over people and to maintain large treasures in order to support Brahmins and the needy. Alas, what greater misery is there than for a prosperous man to lose his wealth? Death would be better. Yudhishthira looked at his brothers, who sat in silent agreement. At his command, they would have accepted even a village each, but Dhritarashtra wanted them to remain beggars. But it's just for their own satisfaction. Who we are, we've made the Pandavas like this. When it's only due to their religious principles that they are accepting the order of a senior. But Duryodhana misinterprets this, that see how powerful I am, I'm able to do this and all that. No, the power is Yudhishthira's, because Yudhishthira can control the senses, because he's being a devotee. He can actually do these things. Duryodhana can't control himself. He's completely carried away by the modes of nature. But unfortunately, you know, being in that demoniac mentality, he can't understand things as they are. The old monarch's suggestion was outrageous. It was unthinkable for a powerful kshatriya to beg. Even their having to beseech the Kurus for their own kingdom was painful and humiliating. That means they come back, they should have just been given it. They shouldn't have to ask for it. They've done their side, so now Dhritarashtra has to keep his word. Yudhishthira continued, although it would be a vicious act to take back our kingdom by slaying our relatives, I cannot see any other course. Fighting when the proper time comes is the hard duty of kshatriyas. But war means suffering for all. Even if we win, we will suffer repentance and grieve the death of our relatives and friends. If we lose, we will suffer extinction. Yet without a kingdom, we are as good as dead. Therefore, I ask Dhritarashtra to peacefully return to us what is already ours. But it's not that he's asking them to give them something. It's what is ours that should be given back. Failing this, then war is the righteous course of action for us, even though it be fraught with misery. So he's pointing out is they have a duty as kshatriyas, right? It means he's behaving, misbehaving, it has to be corrected. And so that's the difficulty, is each position in the society, each has their strong point, and then, you know, the point that is the inspiration, but then the other point will always be the balance. So here we see the kshatriyas, they have to maintain righteousness and follow the shastras, but that means that sometimes if relatives and that are being unjust, then that is still, it has to be corrected. Like the Brahmins, they may be the most respectable, but they live in the most simple position. You know, they may have that authority, but it's that authority is not theirs, it's shastra, and they're then speaking the shastra. You know, Vaishya, he makes all the money and all that, but the money is not all his. He has to take, he's only able to do business because the country is protecting and creating an environment in which you can. And he has his workers that work for him. And all this is, it's for the purpose of moving forward in his God consciousness. So therefore, that's being received from the Brahmins. So he has to take care of his workers, pay taxes to the Kshatriyas, and give charity to the Brahmins. And of course, then distribute wealth to the needy. So everybody has, or the Shudra, he doesn't have to worry about all this. He just lives his life. But he has to work for somebody and then get remuneration from that. So everybody has something that's strong and it's something that they may not appreciate. So it's always balanced. Whatever you like, that is always balanced by something that is an obligation. In other words, what you like is your facility, but the other part's your obligation. So in other words, if all orders perform their obligation, everybody gets their rights. But nowadays, everyone wants their rights with no obligation, and so then the whole so-called civilization will just collapse. Yudhishthira did not relish the prospect of a war with his elders. According to sacred texts, one should always acquiesce to his superiors in an argument. He asked Krishna to clear his doubts. What is your opinion, O Keshava? What is the path of virtue that I should now tread? Is it right for us to fight with Dhritarashtra for and his followers? I doubt he will accept any peaceful approach because he is too attached to his sons. He will simply laugh at our respectful submission, right? So they're being respectful and submissive because of Dharma, and then they take advantage of that and think, see our power, like that. So very, very unenlightened position. O Dharmaraj, whether or not to fight is not your choice. Rather, the choice belongs to Dhritarashtra. For the good of you both, I will go there and sue for peace. If peace can be achieved, then I will have done something virtuous, and the Kuru and Pandava armies will be freed from the death trap. Right, so he says, to fight or not is not actually Yudhishthira, because Dhritarashtra is throwing it back to Yudhishthira and says, I want peace. You decide. But peace means they don't do their duty. So that means Dhritarashtra is not doing his duty. And to maintain that position, he's asking Yudhishthira not to do his. And so then that's not appropriate. And so here we see is that Krishna's pointing out, no, it's not your choice whether there's war or not. It's Dhritarashtra's choice. He gives back the kingdom to Yudhishthira, then there's no war. He doesn't give it back, there's war. So this whole thing of him saying, I'm not giving anything back, but oh, we want peace, and why would you want war, and why would you want to destroy all your... this is just politics. This is just spinning the situation for his own purpose and trying to make it sound like he's religious. But he's the irreligious one. They said, go to the forest for 12 years, you get everything back. Shakuni said it right there. Dhritarashtra, approved it. Duryodhana was there, but they're not doing it. So therefore, the war is 100% Dhritarashtra. Like that. But that's the way politics go. That's the way, nowadays we see the media. Whatever they want, they just say whatever they like and try to spin things in their own for their own purpose. Yudhishthira looked doubtful. It is not my wish that you go to the Kurus, O Krishna. Even if you address Duryodhana in a friendly way, he will not listen to you. I am sure he will try to harm you in some way. What will be the use of any of this if harm befalls you? Krishna laughed. I know Duryodhana's vicious nature, but by going to the Kurus and trying for peace, we will not be censured. No one will be able to say that we do not do everything in our power to avoid war. Do not be afraid for me. All the earth's rulers united could not stand before me in battle when I am angry. Right? Because Dhritarashtra, Jarasandha, remember he went to Mathura, and Krishna went out with a small little army. And he fought with Jarasandha and 18 Akshauhinis. He killed every last man and only left Jarasandha. And not one of Krishna's men was even slightly injured, not a scratch, nothing, I doubt even there was a mosquito bite, it's just there was nothing. So his point is if I'm angry, No one can fight with me. You know, of course, even if he's not, but, you know, because it's Rasa and Leela, then. If the Kurus insult me when I desire their good, then I shall consume them. As you wish, O Krishna, Yudhishthir acceded. Go to Hastinapura. May all good come from it, and may we see you returned in good health, with your object achieved. You are as dear a friend to me as Arjuna. Relying on your friendship, I am not anxious. You should speak to Duryodhana in a way that will secure peace, even if it means we have to sacrifice virtue. I will accept less than my rightful share, or even play another game of dice if necessary. War can be averted. Yudhishthira was confident that he would not lose another dice game, having learned the secrets of the game from Vrishaparva in the forest. Right? So when he was there, then Vrishaparva taught him that. So now he knows how to do it. But he's not a professional gambler, but he knows all the secrets of how it works. So that means he won't lose. You know. He was also alluding to the fact that he would peacefully accept just 5 villages. He said, we may accept less than our share. He means the 5 villages. He was prepared to make any personal sacrifice in order to avoid fighting his relatives and teachers. Yudhishthira was even beginning to wonder if it may not be better to simply let the Kauravas keep the kingdom. Perhaps he could stay with his brothers in a country belonging to their allies. He was certain both Krishna and Drupada would be happy to give them some territory to rule. Right, so that's another option, is just forget their kingdom and just go to one of their allies, go to Drupada or to Krishna. They have places, and get some little bit there, and then they can be junior kings within that kingdom. Then they can perform their duties. They can protect the people, collect the taxes, then, you know, to give in charity to the Brahmins, take care of the needy, as he said. Then they can do all those things very nicely. Because they're Krishna conscious. And so that's going to go on. But the point is as they're there in the Krishna's pastimes, then they perform activities, they perform duties. Krishna's face assumed a grave expression. I know well both your intentions and Duryodhana's intentions. Although you would prefer peace by any means, it is not a Kshatriya's duty to avoid a righteous fight. Rather, the Creator has ordained that a Kshatriya must meet victory or death. He cannot gain his livelihood by gentleness, begging or gathering fruits and roots in the forest. Right? It means as a vanaprastha, as a sin, like that, then they can. But or before Grihastha is a brahmachari, when they're living in the Gurukula, but as a Grihastha, no, they can't. They have to maintain. That's their duties. They're supposed to take care. When the time comes, he must show his power rather than retiring in a spirit of humility. Yudhishthira was almost too humble. Krishna knew that Duryodhana would only take advantage of his mildness and tolerance if he displayed it. The language of strength and threats were the only way to sway the Kaurava from his sinful aims. It would benefit no one if Duryodhana was allowed to get away with his cruelty and deceit. The world would be deprived of the most virtuous ruler and would be led instead by a man given over to selfishness. Right? So, means if the ruler is selfish, it's natural that with time his citizens will become selfish. You know, if not immediately, then after some time. So, since human life is meant to elevate yourself from that self-position to the extended self-position, to the righteous position, to the spiritual position, to the devotional position, then this is going in the opposite way. Because Yudhishthira was bringing the people forward from that religious position, and Duryodhana will take them in the opposite direction. Krishna reminded Yudhishthira of the many insults the Kurus had offered the Pandavas. Duryodhana has shown no remorse or shame for having sent you to the forest clad in deerskins. Indeed, he and his brothers spoke harshly at the time. The elder Kurus simply watched as you were cheated of your kingdom in the dice game. Then the evil-minded Dushasana dragged the weeping Draupadi by her hair into the assembly hall. Krishna's eyes blazed as he recalled Draupadi being violated. His stern voice echoed through the hall. All the kings present shed tears and censured Duryodhana, but did nothing. Right? They censured, but they didn't do anything. For that act alone, he is fit to be killed by anyone. What to speak of yourself, right? So anyone should kill him for just misbehaving like that, let alone Yudhishthir, who is in the position of righteousness. He is blamed and condemned by the Brahmins and all virtuous men. Thus he is as good as dead already. Right? So he's thinking, no, I'll live like this very comfortably. But because it's sinful, sinful things just drop off. Pious things, then you can continue to make them grow. But once it turns into sinful, and you don't have the blessings of the elders and the Brahmins, then it finishes up. Just as there's no sin attached to killing a serpent, so also there's no sin attached to killing him. Those who would follow him into battle also deserve death for supporting one so wicked. So Krishna's given his point is, no, you should fight, because it's not proper he rules. It's not just a matter of, oh, him and you, and it has no effect on anyone else. It's just they'll sit there in their house, and you'll sit out on the road, and that's it. No, he's ruling a kingdom. And so that means those citizens will be not taken care of properly. So then, we'll see the continuation of this discussion. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.